Hello, and welcome to Apparitions and Alibis. I am your host, AJ Stallman. Today, it's all about herbs and spices and murder. Well, it's about one herb. Specifically, strychnine. Yes, I got it. I said it right. So specifically strychnine, which is made from the plant Strychnos nox vomica. I might have butchered that name, but yeah, vomica. So we can all assume what this does, right? This plant is mostly found in Southern Asia and Australia. It's used as a pesticide today, but it can be found mixed with street drugs, you know, like LSD, heroin, cocaine, all that fun junk. Anywhoozle. If you hear thunder and rain in the background, I'm sorry, for I can not control the weather. My supernatural abilities do not go that far. But anyways, I have my coffee. I have my dogs. Let's do this. Thomas Cream was born in 1850 in Scotland, and at the age of 4 moved to Quebec, Canada with his family. He was the oldest of 8 siblings. He was an incredible student in school and through college, except that one time when he set his dorm on fire to get insurance. He attended McGill and went on to study medicine in London around 1876. He had a fun reason for gallivanting across the ocean. He had gotten a woman pregnant and was forced to marry her by her father, who lovingly forced him to the church at gunpoint. Daddy wasn't playing around. When Cream left for England, the honeymoon had just barely ended. When he did return to Canada, it was just long enough for his wife to die from a mysterious illness. After her death, he went to Edinburgh to practice medicine. Cream made his way to Chicago to set up his medical practice near the Red Light District. Here, he would offer illegal abortions to sex workers. Eventually, he was investigated after a woman he supposedly operated on died. When tried for the murder, the main witness against him was an African-American midwife. The jury gave very little weight to the midwife, and he was never charged due to lack of evidence. A regular patient of Dr. Cream's was an elderly epileptic man named Daniel Stott. Sometimes Daniel's beautiful wife, Julia, would come and pick up his medicines. Soon, Julia and Thomas Cream were in a romance. In June of 1881, Julia came to pick up the husband's prescription. But that day, Cream actually wrote 2 prescriptions for the patient. One was a mercury-based compound used for a laxative, and the other was for capsules that held herbs and just a tiny bit of strychnine, which was often used in that time as a stimulant. Cream insisted that Julia go to Buck and Rayner's to get it filled, a local pharmacy. But it was very much out of her way and on the other side of town. Instead of going home afterwards to give her husband the medicine, she made her way back to the doctor, where he upped the formulas. A few days later, Daniel Stott took his medications and died half an hour later. Stott was buried and his death unquestioned until a telegram came in at the coroner's office. I want you to have a postpartum examination made on the body of Dan Stott. Have stomach examined. Suspect foul play. A few days later, another telegram came in, and then another, until finally the coroner contacted the writer. It was Thomas Cream himself. So Cream makes up this story that a fortune teller told him that Stott was poisoned and that the druggists were to blame. He suggested giving some of Daniel Stott's leftover medications to a dog. Surprise! The dog didn't live, which is honestly bullcrap. The poor dog didn't have anything to do with all of this mess. Contained enough strychnine to kill 6 grown men. So Cream is out. 1891. He waddled his way to London and settled down. The area he found himself in was riddled with poverty, petty crime, and sex work. Now, before I get into some of the other victims, I want you to remember how awful their deaths were. This is poison, and I don't think there's any such thing as an easy poison. Stott's body was then exhumed, and it was found that his stomach, after ingesting it, the symptoms will appear roughly between 15 minutes to an hour. Some signs for just a low or moderate dose are painful muscle spasms. High doses lead to respiratory failure and brain death, as well as everything I've already mentioned. Now, if the person survives, long-term effects can be brain damage and kidney failure. Okay, so only 12 days after arriving in town, not even a full 2 weeks, he sought himself company with Ellen Nellie Donworth, a 19-year-old sex worker, to the hospital, severely ill. And on October 16th, she died from strychnine while on the way. 4 days after Nellie's death, Cream dated a 27-year-old sex worker named Matilda Clover. She was ill that evening after their meeting and ended up dead the next morning. She agreed to go out for drinks with Cream. The next day, Nellie was, at first, her death was assumed to be related to her alcoholism. Cream took a nice vacation back to Canada, and sex workers were safe from him until April 2nd of 1892, when he attempted to poison a woman. Luckily, the lady found him very suspicious and refused to consume anything that he offered her. On April 11th, Alice Marsh, age 21, and Emma Shrivel, age 18, allowed Cream into their home. Apparently, he was quite the smooth talker. He offered them bottles of Guinness, which both girls accepted. However, by the time the poison took effect, Cream was long gone. The two girls had a painful death. The landlady actually found the two girls from their shrieks of pain. They lived long enough to say that a tall, cross-eyed man gave them 3 long pills. I was really curious as to how he was getting these women to take drinks with white powder and also, like, pills from him, a complete stranger. And I did find that he was offering these drinks and pills as a preventative from sexual diseases for these women. And of course, with him being a doctor and all, what wasn't to trust? So how did he get caught? I mean, he's traveling back and forth everywhere. The people he's killing are sex workers and likely looked down at by the community. They're not really eager to solve this, you know. They're just prostitutes in this time. Well, he actually messed it up all by himself. So he decided to write a note to police accusing 2 very respectable and innocent doctors of multiple murders, and this includes Matilda Clover, the 27-year-old. But wait, how did they list her death? Oh yeah, natural causes due to alcoholism. Bam. The police were quickly able to determine the blamed doctors were innocent. Not long afterwards, Cream ran into a policeman who's actually visiting from New York. This particular police officer had heard of the Lambeth Killer, which is what the newspaper named him. And Cream was just so sweet that he offered to give the officer a tour of where these victims had lived. They actually exhumed Matilda's body and found that strychnine had killed her. The American policeman mentioned it to a British policeman, who of course found it really fishy that Cream was oh so knowledgeable. So Scotland Yard put Cream under surveillance and soon noticed he has a habit of meeting sex workers. They also spoke to police in the U.S. and found out the conviction of murder by poison in 1881. Fast forward a smidge, July 13th, 1892, and Cream is charged with the murder of Matilda Clover. His trial lasted from October 17th. He was convicted and sentenced to death. It only took the jury 10 minutes to decide. The penalty was quick to October 21st of that year. For England at this time, in less than a month after his conviction, Thomas Cream was hanged in Newgate Prison. Now, a somewhat interesting thing about Mr. Cream is that supposedly his last words were, "I am Jack." Well, who's Jack? Your name is Thomas. Actually, your name is Thomas Neal. Your name isn't even Thomas Jack, so who's Jack? Jack the Ripper, maybe? Now, he did don a hood during this time, so his speech was probably a little muffled. Experts believe it's probably a story that was invented later, because police officials and others who attended the execution really didn't say anything about it. Plus, the records state that in 1888, when all of Jack the Ripper murders were happening, Cream was totally in prison in the United States. So Thomas Cream literally gave himself away twice. I'm guessing he really wanted it to be noted that these people were murdered and not just dying by like natural or random causes. He was just like,
look at what I did. I don't want you to know it was me though. Just look at the work, not the artist. Pay no attention to the man behind the letters.
Dumb. Straight up just dumb. As always, thank you so much for listening. Remember to rate and review wherever you listen. If you want to donate to the podcast, we do have a Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/apparitionsandalibis. Feel free to follow us on Instagram and Facebook, and we even have episodes loaded up on YouTube now. I love you all, and I hope you're having a great morning, night, afternoon, wherever you may be. And I will talk at you later.